The doctrine of Bible doctrine. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, as a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer to ensure the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. We're veterans here, so we won't explain the concept. We'll just do it if we have to. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity, the wonderful opportunity to study your holy word. We know that there is nothing more important in life than Bible doctrine. In Christ's name, amen. So the doctrine of Bible doctrine, of course, starts out with point one. It is the highest virtue in the Christian way of life, is to gain the full knowledge of Bible doctrine contained in the Bible. The Bible, as we've already studied, is the mind of Christ, Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24, Ephesians 3, 18. In 1 Corinthians 2, 16, we read, "For who has known?" And that word is gnosko, which means to learn to know. There's no magical download of information in the brain. You have to learn to know this information. The mind, the nous is the word for mind, of the Lord, that he will instruct him. So this is kind of sarcasm. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, as we know. You had to have some sarcasm with these people. One of the predominant phrases you'll see in the book of Corinthians is, "Do you not know? Do you not know?" I don't know how many times he repeated that, because they weren't getting information that he was providing to them. So these people are going to instruct the Lord. So who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? In other words, you're going to tell Jesus Christ what the deal is. And, of course, that is sanctified sarcasm. But we, Paul and his traveling seminary team, have the mind of Christ. So many of these people had an overinflated idea of what they were. They thought that they knew all this Bible doctrine and they, you know, were going to be able to instruct people and do things. As we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, "You are all of you are babies. You moan and groan and complain and gossip. And you all think you're spiritual giants when you're really spiritual morons." So that's why you have the little H-E for the person that assumes this, and him. So you're going to tell God what to do. This is most Christians. They're going to tell God what to do. "God, you must be impressed because I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for Jesus, doing this and that and the other thing." And it says, but the contrast is, but we, and that's Paul and his traveling seminary team, because Paul was very keen on training young men that had the gift of pastor teacher so they can go out and conduct Bible classes. Have, which is echo, which means to have and to hold. You have it and you hold it. The mind of Christ, which is the full realm of Bible doctrine. Point two. Bible doctrine is a complete revelation of God, by God, to man, of the mind of Christ and the only path to salvation. So Bible doctrine, of course, has the concept of salvation. We call it the gospel. But it has far, far, far more than just the gospel. It has a complete realm of what we're expected to know. Now, this is not all that can be known about God, obviously. But it's all that we can know about God in this earthly vessel that we have. So Bible doctrine lives forever and is found only in the Bible. That's the only place you're going to find it. 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God." So we're saved by the gospel, which is part of Bible doctrine. And it's not perishable, and we're not perishable. Matthew 24:20-35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words..." And that's the word logos. Here it basically is translated the sayings of God. "My sayings, my words will not pass away." Part erkomai. It will never pass away. Point three. Bible doctrine relates to all three members of the Trinity. We stall this under the doctrine of the Bible. The Father is identified with Bible doctrine. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God. The Son is identified with Bible doctrine. 1 Corinthians 2:16, which we've already studied. The mind of Christ. And the Holy Spirit's also identified with Bible doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. And so this makes obvious sense because all three members have the exact same essence. They have the exact same attributes. Point four, the believer is commanded to learn Bible doctrine. This is your command. And you're commanded to grow up. But how do you grow up? By learning Bible doctrine. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise, refuse it not. So, hear instruction, so someone has to teach you, and be wise, that's the result. When you take in instruction, you become wise. You'll rightly divide the word of truth. You won't fall for all the gimmicks that are so rampant in Christianity today. Refuse it not. That's your volition right here. Don't say no. Say yes. Refuse it not. Expose yourself to Bible doctrine. That's our eight R's at the very beginning. You're regenerated. You're born again. And you have to be receptive and rebound. That's the first part of it. And you make that decision. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved. And that's dokimos, which means acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, that's ultimately what you're going to have to do is present yourself to God as a workman. That's a laborer who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling. And that word is orthotomeo, which means to cut straight the word of truth, aletheia. And, of course, this is not the King James Version. I usually quote the King James Version because that's what I was raised on. But it's the same concept. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what, to cut straight, is where you get the word dividing. Actually, the King James has a better translation. Accurately dividing, rightly dividing, accurately dividing. Colossians 1:10-11. So that you will walk, peripateo, and that means a lifestyle. This is your lifestyle, that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit. And the word for fruit is karpos. We have karpophoreo, bearing fruit in every good agathos work and increasing. And that is the word which is related to causing to grow. In the knowledge, and that's the word epinosis, we have the prefix epi on the word gnosis. Gnosis is knowledge, epi is full, so you have epinosis, full knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness. This is key. If you're going to move forward, you've got to have endurance. To be saved is one decision. To reach spiritual maturity, thousands of decisions. That requires endurance, obviously. Hupomone, consistency, endurance, and patience. You've got to have patience, and God gives you one day at a time. And then we have the word joyously, which is chara, gladness. There'll come a time when you're very glad that you're taking in the Word of God, because that is your thinking. That's, if you don't have the Word of God, you'll crack up. You'll go into reversionism. Point five, all believers begin the Christian life as born-again babies, ignorant of the Trinity, Bible doctrine, and the whole concept of grace, 1 Peter 2:2, 1 Corinthians 3:1. Thus, believers must be taught Bible doctrine before they can apply Bible doctrine, Hebrews 5:11 to Hebrews 6:12, Deuteronomy 6:6-9, 2 Peter 2:1-5. The new believer must learn Bible doctrine. 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. And I, Paul, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. And that's his pneumatikos. This is to spiritual men. And this refers to a believer that's positive to doctrines growing. But as to men of flesh, and that's sarkinos, that's the unbeliever, the sarkinos. In other words, I've got to speak to you as to men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants, nepios, in Christ. I gave you milk, which is gala, to drink. This is basic Bible doctrine, and not solid food, for you are not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able. This is a Corinthian crowd that think they can instruct Jesus Christ in the mind of Christ. So, he has to speak to them as men of flesh. In other words, they are outside the bottom circle. They're carnal. They're saved, but they're outside the bottom circle. He can just give them baby food, which is rebound. People need to rebound. Now, Paul never followed these people around and led their lives for them, but he gave them the doctrine. but it was clear that these people were not using the rebound technique at all. And without being in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, you cannot advance in the Christian way of life. You can't take in Bible doctrine unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It'll logjam in your gnosis, academic knowledge, but it's not epinosis, which is that word used in Colossians 1, 10 to 11. And so we say in Colossians 1, 10 to 11, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, again, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge, there's that word, epinosis of God, strengthening with all power according to his glorious might. According to his glorious might means this is God's plan. His glorious might is he wants you to be a mature believer for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. That's how you do it. And then you will have this joy in your soul. But most people, of course, joy is an emotion. Emotions respond to what's in the brain. You don't have anything in the brain. You're just emoting. And you've seen people emote. They're crying and moaning and groaning and laughing. It's just all weird stuff because they don't know anything. Five, all believers begin the Christian life, again, as we said, as babies. And that's back to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 2, where he says, I have to speak to you and give you milk. Psalm 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's Bible doctrine. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring. And that is the Hebrew word S-H-U-B, which means converting. And converting means to change. It's a metamorphosis. Restoring the soul, nephesh, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So we are the simple. The testimony of the Lord will make you wise. So we start out as babies and we become wise. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow. This is the last thing Peter ever wrote before they executed him. But grow, which means to cause to grow, in grace and knowledge. Gnosis. Now this is just a general word for knowledge. Paul used epinosis quite a bit. Now, he used that term to indicate the difference between academic knowledge and full knowledge. Peter uses it here in the sense of obviously getting the full realm of Bible doctrine, but he uses just the word gnosis. But grow, remember, we studied the Bible, God doesn't change the personality, the writing style of people, but he communicates his intent through these people, and you have to look at the language that they use because they're not all using the same type of language. In fact, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, which we study, is very interesting because it looks like it's written by two different people. The style is so different. And we know that they dictated these things down, and people took them down. Paul did it, and Peter did it. So the Greek in Peter is quite sophomoric, but it communicates. Anyway, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, doxa, both now and to the day of eternity. And of course, what is grace? What is glory? Glory is the essence of God. Everything that God is, to him be the glory. So all the glory goes back to the glory. Now and to the day of eternity. What is the day of eternity? Eternity doesn't have a day. It's on and on and on and on and on. So your command is to grow, to cause to grow in grace and knowledge. So you see nothing in here about commands to be good, do good, feel good, make good, fellowship with other believers. None of that stuff in there. It's to for you to grow up. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For though by this time, chronos, which means either a short or a long time, here it's a period of time, that the teacher here had been teaching these people. I think the letter was written by Barnabas, but the author is not given, and it's not necessary to know who wrote it, because the man doesn't count. It's the message. People come, people go. It's the message that counts. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, in other words, they ought to be mature believers, able to answer questions, be ready to give an answer to anybody that has a question about why do you have this hope in you. Somebody asks you about eternal security, you should be able to ask you about the three concepts of positional sanctification. Oh, I got that. Remember the three? The first one is current, and then the second one is experiential, and the last one is ultimate. So you have current positional truth, which means you're in union with Christ, experiential positional sanctification or truth, which is your growth and your life on this earth, and then ultimate sanctification is your resurrection body. And with you, you're going to have rewards attached to the resurrection body. So, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles. And that means, that word basically means just the basic elements from which all things have come, of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk. That's the same thing that Peter said to him. You need milk. And same with Paul. And not solid food. And that's advanced Bible doctrine. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. So if you just take milk over and over and over again, the word of righteousness here means the advanced Bible doctrines. You can't even get out of elementary school. And so it doesn't do me any good to teach you advanced if you don't know basics. That's why if people come in and want to ask you about advanced Bible doctrines, don't waste your time. They want to ask you about the doctrine of heathenism. That's an advanced Bible doctrine. Give them the basics. Make sure they're saved, first of all. You know, say, how are you saved? Because just as babies can't eat steak and drink milk. Now, there'll come a time when they can eat steak, but you don't feed them a steak. You feed them the basics. So don't get embroiled with people that want to engage in controversies or arguments about some point of Bible doctrine. Many of them aren't even saved, so you're just wasting your time. And if they are saved, they need to get the basics. Who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, little child, an infant. But solid food is for the mature. That's you. Who, because of patience, there's that word again, a habit, whether body or mind, have their senses trained. And that word is gymnazo, which means you train in a gymnasium. Very vigorously, you train in the gym to go to the game. That's where the word came from. To discern, that means judging, good, divine good, and evil. So only the mature believer can understand the cosmic systems. As we said, this is hard math. Because most Christians would never tell you that it's evil to say that God's the Father of all. They'll fall for that every time. Or that we're all brothers. That's evil talk. It's a lie. And it's a very attractive lie, but it's still a lie. So they can't discern between good, which is divine good, excellent things, and evil, which is kakos, which is the evil things. Now, everybody knows it's evil to get drunk and stuff, but I'm not talking, that's child's play. I'm talking about works. Do good works. That's what God wants. That's evil. Human good is evil. And it will all be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Your orders in 2 Peter 3:18 is not to do human good. Show me where it says do human good. Not there. Learn information. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow. It's a growing process in respect to learning about salvation, and that means the deliverance to eternal life. You got to learn about the entire thing, because you're delivered to eternal life, but how do you get delivered from the baby to the mature believer? That's also a deliverance. Well, through learning Bible doctrine. Now, see, this is too hard for churches. A, the pastor has to be prepared. They're not. B, notice it doesn't cater to the congregation. This is like a seminary, really. Although you won't see this in most seminaries, because they get in baby land, too, most of them. Human good and all sorts of gimmicks they have, and how to, you know, witness to people. And did you witness to 5 people today? And all this other nonsense. They don't teach categorical Bible doctrine. So point 6, God desires that all believers reach maturity, 1 Timothy 2:4, and has provided the means to do this through the daily intake in time of Bible doctrine plus suffering for blessing. That's the formula. You take in Bible doctrine, and the Bible doctrine will be tested. It's called suffering for blessing. You'll advance to the next level of spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity has levels. You start as a baby, you go to a little toddler, then you go to the adolescents, and you go to the terrible twos. I guess I missed the terrible twos. Terrible twos can go all the way up to the terrible 17s. And then you become a young adult, and then you become an old adult, and there you go. So Psalm 119:11, Psalm 119:15-16, Hebrews 6:10, 1 Corinthians 9:24, 1 Corinthians 10:5, and 11, Proverbs 7:1-4, Philippians 3:11-16, 4-11, 2 Timothy 2:2, Colossians 2:7. And that I refer you also to the doctrine of overview. Let's get the big picture here. And that is the big picture. God wants all believers to reach maturity. And he's provided the means to do it. God doesn't have a directive will where he doesn't provide the means to do it. He provided the means. The missing ingredient is you and me. Do we want to take advantage of this advantage? Proverbs 3, 1-2. My son, do not forget my teaching. Teaching Bible doctrine. But let your heart, that's the word leb, L-E-B in the Hebrew, which means your brain, keep my commandments. And what will happen when you keep the commandments? For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. This is a promise in the Word of God. You want to live a long time? Be positive to Bible doctrine. And the years of your life and peace is prosperity. God will add prosperity, because if you're hot for Bible doctrine, you get blessings in time. And they could be all sorts of blessings. Wealth, success, sex, marriage. Those two don't necessarily go together. They should. What did I miss out? Health, approbation, top of your profession, hobbies, all sorts of wonderful things. Bible doctrine is sorted and stored in categories in your spirit, which is merged onto your human soul. It's stored and sorted in categories, and all believers in the plan of God have an equal opportunity to reach maturity, regardless of any physical factor or differences. Galatians 3, 26 to 28, Colossians 1, 27 to 28, Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, and 11, 2 Peter 1, 1 to 4, 1 Chronicles 28, 9. Accordingly, all believers who want to learn the categories of Bible doctrine will be exposed by God, the Holy Spirit, to a prepared pastor teacher to teach them, and that's the doctrine of heathenism. If you want it, he has to give it to you. Otherwise, he's not fair. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you can't say, well, God, I never had a chance. How did I not get any rewards? He'll just roll back the tape on your life, and it'll say two things. One, it'll show your soul is negative towards learning about your Creator. Therefore, he's not obligated to give you a pastor teacher because you would not listen to him. Or he'll roll back the tape where he actually exposed you to accurate Bible teachers, and you said, no, don't want it. For whatever reason, you don't want it. So, Bible doctrine is set out in categories. Just like all human thinking, you set things out in categories. And whatever your profession is, you have categories. If you're a heart surgeon, or you're a doctor, rather, you've got one category for what do I do if the patient comes in the emergency room and shot with a gunshot wound. You don't use the same techniques that you would use if they come in with the flu. You have different categories that you immediately assess the situation and plug in the category that you need to do. You determine what you do the triage, figure out what it is, and then plug in the medical category to fix that. So if you're treating somebody for a gunshot wound with, you know, take an aspirin and come back and see me tomorrow, that's kind of not going to work too well. So people often say, well, where does it say in the Bible there's categories of Bible doctrine? Well, I like Hebrews 6, 1 to 3, because it gives you the categories, and it chastises the people for reversionism and negative volition. Therefore, leaving aphiemi to send forth the elementary, which is arche, the beginning or origin, teachings about, and these are the categories, in brackets I listed them for you. Here's the elementary teachings, categories. One, about the Christ. That's one of them right there. Who is the Messiah? The word Christ, of course, as you know, is the Greek word for Messiah, which is the Hebrew word, which means the anointed one, the Savior. So there's a whole bunch of doctrines here. He was teaching them. His list of doctrines was, I have one doctrine about the Christ, the Messiah. And he would probably list all the prophecies in the Old Testament that talked about the Messiah, starting with Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman, all the way up through Isaiah. And he taught all those things about Christophanies and Theophanies. And he said, okay, I gave you the basics about who the Messiah is and what he would do. Let us press on to maturity. That's the goal, to press on to maturity. How many times have we seen that word already this morning, this afternoon? Lots of times. Baby maturity, baby maturity. And that is the word for the state of the more intelligent. Eleotes. Not laying again a foundation of. So now he's giving other categories. A foundation of two, second category, is repentance from dead works. And that is, of course, nekros, dead, works, ergon. This is another category. Repentance from dead works. Repent means to change your mind. What are the dead works? I could be saved by being good and doing good and being a human being that does good things and is sincere. That's the doctrine of dead works. Right? Right. It's a lie. So you repent. In fact, all of us did this. Repent just means to change your mind. Because all your life, you're exposed to, if you want something, what do you have to do to get it? Got to work for it. You want that Barbie doll? You go work for it. You want that car? Go out and get a job. You want that A on the test? Dude, you got to study. Almost all our life, we're exposed to, if you want it, get a job. And I love that concept. But it doesn't apply to the math problem that's before us with God, because you can't work for it. It's counterintuitive. Grace has to be taught. It's counterintuitive. Works doesn't have to be taught. Everybody kind of understands that concept. But see, God is not Santa Claus. You can't work to get that relationship with God. So that's the doctrine of the repentance from dead works. Three, of faith towards God. Pistis. Now, the word faith is a whole doctrine by itself. The word pistis is used, but it means different things in different contexts. There's saving faith. There's faith when it's used as the body of information that is believed, which is Bible doctrine. And then there's the faith rest technique, which is a problem-solving device. You claim a promise in the Bible, and you relax. The Bible says that you will protect me. I claim that promise, and I'm just going to relax as I jump out of this airplane. So you've applied the faith rest technique. Same words used, but the context and the way that the hermeneutics is put together is different. And we'll get to the doctrine of faith. And then we got four, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands. Now, this refers to the audience. Remember, he's a Jew writing to Jews. The washing were the rituals in the Old Testament. And the laying on of hands refers to all these rituals, because they laid on hands on animals to transfer sins, Leviticus chapter 2. Then they cut the throat of the animal. So he had to give them all sorts of instructions about the Old Testament rituals, what they really stood for. Because guess what, folks? Most of the Jews in the first century, they had no idea what the ritual stood for at all. And ritual without reality is meaningless. So he said, look, here's what these rituals stand for. The rebound ritual, the ritual that taught about Christ and his work on the cross, the Passovers. So he was using the Old Testament as instructions. That's what this fourth category means. And today, we studied the Old Testament. We don't spend a lot of time on it because those rituals pointed to the Messiah. We look back on it. The more valuable doctrine is the mystery doctrine of the church age. But we have studied the rituals in the Old Testament, and we'll do so again. So that's what he had as a category of doctrine, to explain to these Jews that, yeah, these rituals taught the shadow, but the realities come. So we don't need to go back in the temple anymore, boys and girls. Now, Paul went back in the temple and did a vow, which, of course, he almost died the sin unto death for doing that trick. But that's a doctrine. Five, the resurrection, anastasis of the dead. Well, that's a whole other doctrine, the resurrection, right? And we have a doctrine called the resurrection in our own book. And I'm not going to stop and take time, but number six is eternal, which is aeon, which means without beginning and without end, judgment. There is an eternal judgment. And so this is the judgment. There's two categories of judgments. One for the believer, the judgment seat of Christ, right? And then one for the unbeliever, which is called the Great White Throne Judgment. You will not be at the Great White Throne Judgment. You will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And the unbeliever will not be at the judgment seat of Christ. That's for believers only. So this is the eternal judgment. And Chi, which is a conjunction, this we will do, poeo, if God permits. It means to allow to happen. So he's saying, you know, I want you people to reach maturity. Here's some categories of doctrines. Let us press on to understand these full categories. Now, these aren't all the categories, but these are categorical listings of Bible doctrines. If I gave you a test and said, is this true or false? You should say true. This is a no-brainer. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Ephesians 3:18-19. The believer may be able to comprehend katalambano, means to lay hold of, with force. You grab it. Not just a sissy handshake, but you grab that hand and push on it. With all saints. Who's a saint? That word is hagios, which means you're separated from. Every believer is a saint. What is the breadth and the length and the height and depth of Bible doctrine? The full range of Bible doctrine. And to know, gnosko, to learn to know, the love of Christ. The believer cannot know what he does not, cannot love what he does not know. That's my commentary there. Which surpasses, and that's hooper, which means beyond, and balo, which means to throw down next to, or to throw down. So, which surpasses, super balo, knowledge. What surpasses knowledge? Gnosis. Epignosis. Full knowledge. So you're going to know all these things which surpasses academic knowledge, that you may be filled up, pleroo, which means to fill up to the top, to the fullness, pleroma, of God. I.e., in other words, that you may reach maturity. So God expects you, that, you know, you often hear people say, wow, that Bible, we can't understand these things. It's too hard to understand. No, everything in the Bible can be understood. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have put it in the Bible. Your problem is you just don't have a pastor teacher that knows what it means. And, of course, that means that it'd be good to find a pastor teacher that knows a lot of information. If you know one that's like in, you're in elementary school and that person's in junior high, well, pretty soon you're going to get to junior high. They can't take you beyond where they have gone. If they aren't in the graduate level, you ain't getting to graduate school. That's why Peter said, go to Paul's letters, dude. He's at the top of the game. Remember? Peter was up there. But Paul was at the top. He was the greatest Bible teacher that ever existed. And we have it in writing. So if you go to a Bible class and or you attend for a while and you find that the pastor teacher can only go up to a certain level, then you've got to decide, do I stick with this person? Because the pastor teacher should always be growing as well. Because they also advance in maturity as they study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. So you might have patience if it's a young person that's, you know, 30 years old and they're just getting their feet wet. You might be patient with them. They might grow and have leaps and bounds and breakthroughs and get through these doctrines. Or you might decide that I'm going to, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to send me somebody because I don't have a whole lot of time on my game clock that can take me to a higher level. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All Scripture, graphe, is inspired by God, and that's the Holy Spirit. Theo, which means God. Neustos, breathe, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, fitted, that word is artios, King James has the word mature, equipped, which means to furnish perfectly, for every good work. Yeah, the word of God will do these things. They'll correct you. They'll show you where you need your correction for reproof, for instruction, for training, all these things. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed. And that means to conform oneself to another's pattern. Skuchimatzio. To this world. But be transformed. Metamorpho. When you got two O's on the end, it's O-O. Metamorpho. To change into another form by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing here is a complete renovation of your mind, that ye, that you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is, for that which is good and acceptable and perfect. God's only impressed with divine good. That's the agathos word again. And acceptable. That's acceptable to him. And perfect. God's perfect. You must be perfect. You must have Bible doctrine, which is perfect. Put it in your soul. So you transform your thinking. You don't conform your thinking to the world, which Satan's the ruler of the world, the cosmic systems. You transform your mind by taking in Bible doctrine, and it will transform your mind and your life. Psalm 90:12. So teach, yada, to learn to know us, to number our days, that we may present to you a heart, lebab, of wisdom. That's what God wants you to do. Old Testament saying the same thing as the New Testament. So teach us, all right, so we can develop a brain, a heart of wisdom for you. Then we're going to present it to you. Where? Well, in time, you'll present it to God, but at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to present that soul filled up with Bible doctrine. Marvelous passage. 2 Timothy 1:13. Retain, echo, which means to have and to hold, the standard of sound words which you have heard, akouo, of me, Paul, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So the faith and love, these are problem-solving devices. When you reach maturity, you need these problem-solving devices. Faith is faith rests here, and love is agape love, impersonal love towards all mankind, which are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus had the problem-solving devices. Do you think he ever used them? Yeah, like all the time. Of course he used them as humanity. When they spit on him and beat him, he turned the other cheek. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent. Spoudazo means to hasten, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We already did that, but I like it, so it's inculcation. We're doing it again. Rightly divine the word of truth. Point 7. Bible doctrine is stored in categories, and all believers in the plan of God have an equal opportunity to reach maturity, as we've already said, regardless of any physical factors or differences. So regardless of factors, differences, you have the right. Not going back to the other page, we don't want to do that, but that's a good point to learn. We're actually on page 66, which is 1 Timothy 4:16. I'm doing two-sided to two-sided. So 1 Timothy 4:16, as we continue under our final point, which was the point 7, which is Bible doctrine stored and sorted in categories. We're giving you some of the categories and statements to back up this. 1 Timothy 4:16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Now, this is Paul to Timothy. Timothy's a pastor teacher. And Timothy had a rough time with the congregation in Ephesus, as we know. He also had a rough time with the congregation in Corinth. But he reached maturity. So he's saying to Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. It says, persevere in these things. And that's in Bible doctrine. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation, which is the word sozo, which here does not mean salvation in terms of going to heaven. It means to deliver. Sozo means to deliver. So you got to ask yourself, deliver from what point to what point? Well, he's a pastor teacher. He's delivering the baby to the mature believer, right? Easy. He's delivering the baby to the mature believer. That's what the pastor teacher is supposed to do. So Paul's saying, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere. That means keep going. If the pastor teacher doesn't show up, there's no Bible class. One person that has to persevere is the person that's teaching, because they don't have the luxury to say, well, I don't think I'm going to do it today. I think I'll do this, that, and the other thing. They've got to persevere in those things. For as you do this, you will ensure deliverance from baby to maturity, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Now, what does that mean? That's how Timothy grew up as well. By him studying and teaching Paul's letters, he grew up to be a mature pastor teacher. He didn't start out as a mature pastor teacher. He started out as kind of a knucklehead. If you read Paul's letters, remember Paul said, hey, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. You don't have to say that to a mature pastor teacher. You don't need to take a little wine for your stomach's sake. They look at that person in the church that's giving them a hard time. They throw them out. They exercise their legitimate authority. But Timothy was kind of a mommy's boy. You can kind of get that. He's kind of a soft little person. People like to name their kid Timothy. Nice, sweet Timothy. Why don't I name him Titus? Or nobody names anybody Titus. Titus was the guy that took two heads together and smashed them together. He's the one that straightened out the church in Corinth. It wasn't Timothy. It wasn't Apollos. Apollos wouldn't go back. Remember Paul said, Apollos, can you go back? I'm not going back there. No way. And so Titus went in and cleaned house. Titus was sent to Crete. Titus was always a troubleshooter. And yet, it's interesting that Paul didn't pass on the keys to Titus. He passed it on to Timothy. What are the keys? All his letters, bound letters, said, look, you're going to be the next person that goes down. I'm giving everything to you. Not Dr. Luke, his buddy. Not Barnabas. It was to Timothy. But Timothy had a long process to grow. So that's what I told you earlier. If you've got a pastor teacher that's starting out, you've identified that, hey, this person's kind of wobbly here and there. Well, stick with them for a while and see if they get unwobbly. Because by studying and teaching Bible doctrine as a pastor teacher, you will grow. And you'll put together categories like the 8 R's. I didn't know anything about the 8 R's. I was bumping around somewhere a year ago. It just kind of came. So you stuck with me, and you got the benefit of the teaching tool called the 8 R's. And no one's ever developed that before. Theme didn't have it. It just kind of grew as you grow. And you develop these things. So you grow and I grow at the same time. I just got to keep ahead of you. And so that's what Paul is telling Timothy to do. By doing these, you will deliver yourself from the baby to the mature pastor teacher, and the congregation from the baby to the mature congregation. So I need you and you need me in order for this thing to work. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify means to set apart from profane things, hagiazo, the Christ as Lord in your hearts, cardia. That's not the pump that pumps blood, it's your brain. Always being ready to make a defense. And that's that word apologia. You know, we have the apologetics. You're defending something. That's a verbal defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope, elpis, confident expectation that is in you. Yet with gentleness, which proutas, mildness of disposition, and reverence. And so the reverence, of course, is respect, phobos. So you're not supposed to, you know, beat up on people that ask you questions and say, you idiot, don't you know that? You say, well, you know, here's what it is. If they ask you. If they ask you a question about Bible doctrine, whether you're male, female, give them the answer. They ask you a question about eternal security, you're mandated to give them the answer on eternal security and then point them to a pastor teacher. But you should be able to give an answer. The basic question, of course, is how are you saved? And we know that most Christians have no idea how they're saved. They don't know the gospel. They may or may not be saved. We're assuming they are saved. Many saved people do not even know the gospel that saved them. They forgot it. It's been submerged by the cosmos because they became a believer and they went straight into the cosmos of human good. And even though they can't lose their position in the top circle, dude, they're out to lunch. So I'd always ask people, I would say, how are you saved? Instead of me trying to give them the full gospel, I just want to check them out. How are you saved? And you'll hear the weirdest stuff you've ever heard. Got to be good. No, you don't. Got to stop sinning. No, you don't. You got to get dunked in the water. No, you don't. Well, really? Well, how are you saved? And then you give them the gospel. Faith alone, Christ alone. God's perfect. You're not. He bridged that gap. He died for your sins. If you believe that, you're in. So you should be ready to give someone the gospel. Now, if you don't know the gospel, please don't say anything. Just come to Bible class for a while and we'll teach you the gospel. And then you can say something. That doesn't apply to this group because you all know the gospel. But a new believer that would come into this Bible class, I would tell them, don't do anything. Please don't do anything because you give this Bible class a bad name. They find out you come here and you don't know nothing. Or you distort the doctrine. Well, I went to Atticott's Bible class. Wow. Now, please just don't say anything. Just come to Bible class for a couple of months. Then you can, we'll put you out in the baby part of the pool and you can start doing little things here and there as God opens the door for you. And you have to do it with, you know, you have to remember, we were an idiot too at one time. That's why it says, do it with mildness and reverence. You know, respect the fact that they're idiots, as you were too at one time. And nobody beat you upside the head. Philippians 2:5. Have this mental attitude, phroneo, to have understanding and wisdom in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you have the mental attitude that was in Christ Jesus? Take in Bible doctrine. Proverbs 8:33. Heed instruction, be wise, and do not neglect it. Again, we've covered that verse, but I like it, so I'll cover it again. Don't neglect Bible doctrine. Don't throw it in the trash can. It's the most valuable thing you've got going for you. Proverbs 23:12. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to the words of knowledge. You can reach maturity by reading it, but the primary way to reach maturity is through the ear gate, akouo, here, to the words of knowledge. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, maintained, kept up by understanding. Ecclesiastes 12:9. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher, which is Solomon, also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. We're going to get to Proverbs one of these days, a magnificent book in the Bible. But he pondered it, he searched out, and he arranged many proverbs categorically. Okay, so that's the doctrine of Bible doctrine, and that is your life. If Bible doctrine is not your life, you're a loser. If there's something more important than Bible doctrine, you're a loser. This is the most important thing you have. It's your breath, it's your air, it's your food, it's everything. And it is the mind of Christ. And you're commanded to take in these categories and put them into your soul. And as you know, that's the basis for rewards. When God looks at your soul and he sees you filled it up with categorical Bible doctrine, then your rewards in time and rewards in eternity will be released to you. In time, they're released while you're alive, the blessings of the physical blessings. In eternity, you'll get them at the judgment seat of Christ. Most Christians, it's like there's a cricket in there chirping. Chirp, chirp, nothing there. Nothing. And they will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ because they will arrive as a baby and they will realize for the first time in their Christian life the concept of grace, what it really is. And they will have a resurrection body, remember, ultimate sanctification, but that's it. So we want to have a big band playing in our soul, you know, a full orchestra that reflects all these doctrines back. And that's what glorifies God. That's why you're here. You're not here for any other reason but to glorify God in time and eternity in the angelic conflict. And along the way, you can have fantastic blessings in time and be fulfilled beyond your imagination. David chapter, Psalm 23, my cup overflows and blessings chase me down. You don't have to chase them down. They'll chase you down. All you got to do is put doctrine in the cup. And the blessings will overflow out of that cup. With their head bowed and eyes closed, Father, thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We thank you for all that you have given us. And we thank you most of all, Father, for the grace that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ's name, amen.